Married with Channels is back.
After a long hiatus.
I think it's probably been since like October.
Oh man, that's too long. Sorry, everybody.
No. All two of those people who listen.
Yeah,
that's okay. Oh, we just got number three.
Yay!
I'm going to go blow up balloons now.
Welcome.
So today we're going to talk about the second season of Dead to Me.
Yeah.
And the third season of Killing Eve.
Yep.
And we'll start with what? Dead to Me?
Whatever you want.
Okay, let's start with Dead to Me.
Okay.
I like Dead to Me. I like the show. I think this season was kind of almost soap opera-y.
Yeah.
And it all started, the first feeling I got of that is when the door rang and when first episode, and they went to go answer it, and it's Steve. But no, it's not Steve.
Right.
It's his twin brother.
Yes.
All that's missing was the organ going. Dun, 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 dun.
Yes, totally. I like the show as well. I feel like some of the plot lines and the story is getting kind of all crazy soap opera-ish a little bit like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I honestly kept waiting the whole season like, is that really his twin? What if that's really Steve?
I was thinking that was Steve too because they kept it very vague about how Steve actually died. Right? It wasn't until episode 5, 6 that we found out that
yeah.
She whooped him over the head and he fell in the pool and then they put the body in the freezer.
Yeah, it was through Jen's, you know, kind of traumatic flashbacks that you finally see what really happened there. Yeah.
Yeah. And like I said, I liked it. You know, I think that show's strength is its characters and the interaction between Jen and Judy.
Yeah.
That's just a unique relationship, at least on TV.
I gotta imagine, though, after the first season, when, you know, Jen knows Judy's secrets, it's kind of hard to know where to go after that. So some of these plot lines kind of have to get tangled up.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you have to make it go somewhere after, you know, kind of the original story had been revealed. You know what I mean?
Right. Like after she knew about her husband getting killed
by
Judy and Steve.
Yep.
I did like, speaking of that stuff, how this season, the first season was about Judy kind of not revealing that she and Steve killed Jen's husband.
Yeah.
And they kind of flipped that for this season where it was Jen trying not to let Judy know that she killed Steve.
Yeah.
So it's almost like a reciprocated seasons.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, it was good. But it got more soap opera-y when, you know, she's Judy's dating Michelle. You know, they start doing it.
Yeah.
And she goes to her house and, oh no, her ex who she lives with is Detective Perez.
Yeah.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yep, 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 yep.
That was a little soap opera-like.
Agree.
Which is fine. It's fine. It's just kind of, to me, when I'm thinking of that stuff, I'm not really super thinking about, I'm not super into your show at that point. You lose me a little bit.
Sure.
But, I don't know. It's almost kind of, not a guilty pleasure, but it's just Dead to Me is kind of like one of those shows where it's kind of the Rice Krispies of cereals for but for shows, for dramas, where it's kind of light. I'm getting something out of it, but it's kind of relaxing and not too heavy and intense. It's not like Ozark or Breaking Bad, you know, like deep, dark, intense. But there is definitely some dramatic moments there.
I think it's there's more of the emotional side. And maybe as a female, I get more of that out of it than just kind of the Rice Krispies of shows. But
I'm not trying to just minimize it to that. There's more there, but I'm just saying the overall feel, like, you know, like shows like Ozark and Breaking Bad, you have to be in the mood for it.
Yeah.
You have to kind of be in that zone. Whereas this one, it's like, yeah, I could watch Dead to Me.
I don't know. I felt some of that intensity. Like, are they going to get caught? They're so going to get caught, you know, like just kind of flirting with some of those moments where, you know, you see them frantically trying to cover their tracks as far as Steve and like the neighbor with the surveillance cameras. And, you know, as far as like even burying the body. I mean, there were just so many kind of examples of that intensity, I thought, still.
Yeah, you're another example of the soap opera stuff. You reminded me that the neighbor, how they encountered the neighbor's husband on a little
on a
tryst.
Wild weekend. Yeah.
That was a little gone. Yeah, bold and beautiful there.
Yeah, that was a little strange too. And I don't know, you know, like Charlie's Joyride with the car. Like, ooh, you know, all kids document. I mean, they're all taking photos and posting them online or Snapchat. And, you know,
yeah,
it was moments of intensity like that. Like, ooh, somebody, they're going to get caught, you know.
Can we talk about Charlie briefly?
Yeah.
I get the feeling that he was kind of a dick in the first season. Like,
yeah.
A real ungrateful kid. And I get it. He's a teenager.
Yeah.
But it seemed like.
Also, his dad just died. Let's
true,
say that.
True.
Yeah.
But yeah, so maybe he was acting out, but
yeah.
I get it. Just seemed like the first season he was kind of your typical angsty, pissed off teenager who hates his parents times 10.
Yeah.
Like that's all you saw of Charlie. Whereas this season, they seem to make him more of a sympathetic character, more likable.
Yeah.
And I wonder if that was intentional or not.
I don't know. I think, you know, a lot of Charlie's anger, I think, and what you perceive in the first season of Charlie, I think it is warranted. I think he's hurting and he needs at least his remaining parent to help him. And she's not kind of helping him.
Mm-hmm.
She's not really giving her kids what they need. In the grieving process, she kind of does with the little one a little bit, you know, kind of playing into
what's his name,
the bird fantasies.
Noah, Jonah.
Hold on, stand by, Henry.
Henry, there
totally
we go.
Totally close. Anyway, yeah. What were we talking about?
Charlie and
oh, sorry. Yeah, so I mean, I can see why he was kind of acting out and being a jerk that first season, because I don't think she was doing a good job of comforting her grieving children, you know?
Mm. Okay.
She doesn't know how to handle her own grief and what's happening. And, you know, she doesn't have good soft people skills. That's why Judy fills that gap for those boys. You know, she's the lovey
feely,
mommy.
Touchy-feely.
Yeah, the sweet, nice mom. And
yeah, I guess so. It yeah. No, she always comes across as kind of an anger ball.
Yeah.
Like an anxiety-ridden anger ball.
Yeah.
But yeah, so but then another issue I have, and I'm not trying to bag on the season. It's fine.
Sure.
I think the first season was better.
Sure.
I like the ideas they came up with on the second season.
Yeah.
But one of the things, another thing, so I don't want to sound like I'm nitpicking, but I kind of am, I guess.
That's
is
right.
The, you know, when she turns herself into Detective Perez,
mm-hmm.
They kind of broke character with Perez on that, because this whole time she was Miss by the book.
Yeah. Horace.
Cross the T's, dot the I's. And all of a sudden this woman comes and says, I did it. I killed him. And she's just going to take her out to the woods to where the body was supposed to be buried.
Yeah.
The Detective Perez before that episode would have said, probably right there at the door of her house, I'm going to read your rights. You have the right to remain, you know, Miranda rights.
Yeah.
And said, we're going down to the station and we're going to, I'm going to get a statement from you.
So
But instead, they just go right down to the woods to find the body.
Yeah, no, I get it's probably not protocol. Well, I think you got to zoom out a little further. What you do see is a transformation in that character of Perez. You know, there's some of her issues come to light, and, you know, not having a mother. And that's why she was super close to Michelle's mother. That's why, you know, Michelle's mother having a stroke and not doing very well is getting to her. And then Judy, you know, kind of helps her in that dark point. And maybe it just softens that Grinch heart of hers just enough, you know, I don't know. But you do kind of see a little shift in that character overall.
Yeah, I get what you're saying, but I think that would have applied if it was Judy. If Judy had come to her and said, I did it, then I could see her maybe saying, let's go to the woods and find this body, get this over with.
I know, but I don't know. Yeah, I don't know why they went to the woods to just find it themselves.
It's just kind of a little thing that kind of adds up for me on the season where I'm like, why wouldn't she take her to the station house?
Sure, and go have dogs and troops look for the body.
And is it me or is the Jerry Burns character just seems kind of out of the blue?
Who's that?
I believe he's the police chief. You know, he's got the pointy face. Yeah. He was in Justified.
He was at the wake. Threatening the ladies.
Yeah, but he was also in the police station.
Because he's connected to the Greek mafia. Remember, end, that's what's on the flash drive is audio of the chief.
Yeah, it just seems like
making, wheeling and dealing.
Seems like he was kind of shoehorned in there. Like, we didn't know who he was. I didn't know he was the police chief until...
Right.
His third appearance in the show.
Yeah.
Like second to last episode.
Yeah, but maybe that's done on purpose. Like he threatens the ladies at the wake, you know.
Yeah.
And you're kind of like, who's this guy? Another family member?
That's the thing, is they didn't identify him at that wake. Like, oh, hey, Chief Wiggums or whatever the hell your name is.
Right.
You know, there was none of that. It's just some guy who came up and started talking and you're like, oh, it's Jerry Burns, famous character actor. You wouldn't know who he was. Then in a couple episodes later, he pops into the police station to harass Judy's ex, who's investigating, you know, answer those phones.
Yeah.
Like, okay, who is he? Is he some sort of wealthy, connected guy who can just meander into the police station and start barking orders? Yeah. So I just thought that was not handled great.
Sure. And maybe he will be more prominent going forward. Obviously, they have audio of him.
I don't think so. Yeah.
Doing something criminal. That was a little hard to figure out. Like, wait, who's this guy at first?
Yeah, just kind of introduce him somehow. Like as easy as, oh, there's Chief Wiggums giving me shit again.
Yeah.
And he walks away or whatever.
Sure.
Then you're like, okay, Chief. But anyway.
Maybe we missed that. I don't know. Maybe it was a minute shout out.
It was a little too many beers into it on a Friday night. That's all I got on Dead to Me.
I got a couple more notes.
No, we're done. No, go ahead.
Back to the Perez and Jen in the forest where, you know, the lady walking her dog. Like, that's going to come back. On Perez, don't you think?
It has
going
to.
Forward, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought that up. I think she's going to be kind of intertwined now with that. I think it's going to be Jen, Judy, and Perez.
Yep. Teaming up to get out of whatever they're getting into here.
Because she might realize, oh, in a moment of weakness and, you know, connecting with this woman who also lost her mom when she was young, I made a huge mistake.
Yeah.
You know, and I need to fix this.
Yep.
Otherwise, my career is over. I've already lost my girlfriend. Obviously, my mom. Probably by next season, I'm guessing Michelle's mom's going to be gone. So they're going to add more incentive motivation for this detective to be like, all right, I got to work with these dum-dums and try and fix this up.
And save my own self.
Save my ass.
Yeah. And since you brought up the mom's theme, I thought it was interesting that you know, both characters kind of stood up to the moms. Like, Jen stood up to her mother-in-law, finally. You know, and kind of cut that cord there,
mm-hmm.
that dependence on kind of a crappy mother-in-law. And then Judy's prison mom. Let's talk about Katie Sagal's character.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, at first I didn't get that she was, because you were saying, when we were talking about this before, that she's a manipulative.
Yes. Yeah.
Mother, maybe even toxic.
Yeah, like she pretty much abandoned Judy to do drugs, and Judy didn't know if she was ever going to be home, and if she got home, whether she was sober or not. And, you know, I'm sure the endless parade of party people around a childhood.
Party people!
A childhood is not good. And, you know, she hasn't seen her in a long time. And after some, there's some critical jabs in there, then she has the gall to ask her for money for a fancy lawyer, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, then she's almost like, but if you can't do it, that's okay, you know? And it's just so manipulative. And so I was happy to see that Judy stood up for herself and didn't give her the money.
I'm glad you brought that up, because I did not pick up on any of her manipulative stuff until like their final jailhouse meeting.
Yeah.
And it kind of dawned on me like, oh yeah, she's going to be a little bitch.
Yeah. It's subtle, but it's
there. She's very.
Oh yeah.
It's there's, I'm sure there's some cliche regarding like, well, it's kind of like the wolf in sheep's clothing.
Yeah.
Sheep's clothing. She's coming across very, you know, concerned and empathetic to whatever Judy's saying, and oh, honey, and all that. But if you stop and read between the lines and read her words, you can probably tell that, yeah, she's kind of a bitch.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yep. It's a sly, sly way of doing it. But she definitely, you know, tried to manipulate Judy. Poor sweet Judy, who's, you know, gullible and naive and wants to help people and sees the good in people even when there isn't any. I think that was one of Jen's line. Like, she sees the good in people even when there isn't any.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And so for her to stand up, I thought that was a really, really great moment. And then we find out Judy has lots of money in the paintings. Like, that was so great.
Yeah, where did that money come from?
Is it Steve's dirty laundering money?
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
It's gotta be.
It's gotta be, right?
Gotta be.
He had those in the warehouse. Or in the office, in the art gallery.
Yeah.
She must have known it was in there.
That's probably why he was kind of invested in the art gallery or whatever. Yeah, she gets some cash.
Yeah, and it sounded like quite a lot with all their plans and schemes that they were coming up with. It was like, geez, how much money does she have hidden in there? You know?
Enough to buy out the mother-in-law's share in the house.
Yeah, that's got to be
$20,000, I think.
I don't know. So some interesting things at the end of the season for me, too, that I'm curious to see how they're going to play out is Charlie found the note from Jen to Judy.
So about she's turning herself in.
So he knows now. Like, what's an angsty teenager going to do with that? Blackmail his mom?
I was going to say, is he going to hold that over his mom's head?
Yeah. Is he going to accidentally let it out of the bag or, you know?
I don't know.
He was already kind of suspicious of her because of the car in the slideshow at the wake. She was like, what are you doing with Steve's car? You know?
Yeah.
And, so it'll be interesting to see how that aspect plays out with him knowing now.
Yeah, and also drunk Ben plowing into Jen and Judy in Charlie's new car, now totaled car.
Yeah, yeah, that's where they left it.
And he pulled off and drove away, right?
He did, yeah. He had that old kind of Jeep-looking thing, Jeep wagon. Yeah.
And neither Jen nor Judy knew it was him.
I guess not, no.
Yeah.
I don't know that he knew who he hit either.
So he'll be next season, the one that's trying to hide the fact that he
and the guilt
perpetrated X against them.
Yep, and the guilt that comes with that, you know, like what will that do? And yeah, it'll be interesting to see. Like, I was almost kind of rooting for her when her and Steve got together, when Jen and Ben. Jen and Ben. Oh, how cute is that? I was kind of rooting for them when they got together as a couple. But then I was like, well, that's got to be kind of weird for Judy because they are identical. Like, how could you see your best friend with your love of your life's identical twin? Like, I don't know. That's just a little odd to me.
I wonder if anybody's dated a person who's a twin, broken up with them, and then started dating their identical twin.
Oh, afterwards. I'm sure that's probably happened.
How weird would that be?
That is weird and probably inappropriate.
Is it, though? Different person?
I don't know. I guess, Wouldn't you always wonder if they were thinking about your identical twin?
I guess it just depends on how it ended and all that.
Yeah, I don't know. It ended, so that you should be done with family members at that point.
If you really get along with the other twin, like way better?
Then you should have thought about that beforehand, and you guys could be friends. I don't know. I just think that's inappropriate. Like, if we got divorced and you started dating one of my siblings, ew, no.
Well, what if your sibling was your identical twin?
No, that's just weird and wrong.
Hmm. What if her name is Charisse?
No.
That wouldn't make it better.
No.
All right, anything else on Dead to Me?
No, it's interesting. The transformation of the characters are interesting, but yeah, I'm a little bit let down by how tangled the web is getting. I think you could have maybe gone with maybe three of those threads and not all of the soap opera stuff going on there.
Yeah.
And I think it could have still been a good, solid show.
Yeah, just a little too much General Hospital going on there.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's still good. Like I said, as long as the characters are good and the writing with the characters and each other is good,
yeah,
I'll still watch it.
Sure.
Moving on.
Sure.
To Killing Eve.
Oh, yeah.
Season 3.
Yep, yep.
Where,
Kenny is dead.
Yeah, Kenny is dead.
They killed Kenny.
Yeah. Yeah. First or second episode?
Oh, man.
I'll say first.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Anyway, yeah, Kenny's dead. I thought this season was really good. I thought I liked it more than last season. I thought last season ended kind of weird, where Villanelle shot Eve in that, what was it, a Roman?
Yeah, some kind of ruins.
Or something. Yeah. I just thought that was,
just okay.
Definitely a good indication of like a sophomore slump, but I think they bounced back pretty good this year.
Yeah.
I liked how we got to the relationship of Kenny's mom,
Carolyn,
and the sister, Geraldine.
Geraldine.
That whole dynamic's interesting.
It is. Carolyn is cold. I mean, she is cold.
Like, she is all business.
But you almost get a little glimpse of humanity because she's cold and distant to Geraldine kind of for a reason. A, she's focused on trying to find out who killed her son. You know, that it's like just another mission, like just another MI6 mission. Like, she is just focused on that and doesn't take time to grieve, doesn't show any kind of human emotion about it, doesn't, you know, feel things, which is interesting because, you know, Is that kind of a parallel to Villanelle? I mean, she's cold and a killer, you know?
Right.
So I thought that was interesting how, but you also kind of get an explanation for that. At one point, I think I brought this up to you before, where she says, like, to Geraldine, you were your father's and Kenny was mine. And it worked perfectly when everyone was alive.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And now we're stuck with each other, you know?
Yeah.
And so it kind of makes sense now, you know?
Yeah. No, the Caroline stuff was interesting. And it seemed like they did just enough of her, you know, deep dive.
Is it Caroline or Carolyn?
I don't know.
Sorry, I think I might be saying it wrong.
Tall, short-haired British chick.
Yeah, sorry. Let me
verify here. They did just enough with her that, okay, we got a good idea of her, but we're not spending every other episode on her and her backstory.
Sorry, it's Carolyn.
Carolyn. Okay. Huge difference.
Yeah, sorry. My bad.
Take out the I, put a Y.
Well, I told you, last season, like, I have a hard time remembering characters' names on this show for some reason.
Yeah, me too. Except for like the three main ones.
Yeah.
But,
all right. So, attack on Nico. Nico's kind of going to be, I think, out of
the
show, right?
Yeah, he's got to be done.
Yeah.
That one's kind of run its course.
Yeah.
It was him being there when they were married and quote unquote happy.
Yeah.
Provided a good kind of backdrop to what she was doing with Villanelle, like a kind of the house of cards that could fall with her actions with Villanelle, I think. But that's kind of been played out.
Mm-hmm.
And now that they've separated, and last season when his girlfriend slash fellow teacher got killed.
Yeah.
You know, he is already kind of over her. And
yeah.
The fact that he survived a pitchfork to the neck.
Yeah.
yeah, he's definitely done with her.
Yeah.
And I'm not seeing much in the way of her kind of longing for him. She was still trying to make it happen. And
yeah.
Even after he got pitchforked. But I think she's kind of over it, too. It seems like her and Villanelle have come to a place in their relationship where... I think they know they love each other, but there's no idea of how those pieces are going to fit, if at all. But they know that that's where they're supposed to be.
Yeah.
So all these other distractions, whether it's Nico or Villanelle dating whoever, humping whoever.
I don't think she does that, though. You don't ever see her dating or being with other people.
Well, the first season was her marrying some girl. Remember the and the big fiasco at the wedding?
Oh, yeah.
When Dasha showed up at the wedding. Yeah, so I think they're beyond the distractions. I think it's going to be next season, I don't know how, but focused on how do they find the right dance moves, which is fitting considering the last episode was involving dancing.
Yeah. Let's back up. We got to meet Dasha. That's kind of a... caricature for me. It was kind of just a grossly exaggerated character there.
Yeah, it was almost cartoony.
Yeah.
She was like the Natasha from Bullwinkle and Moose kind of.
Yeah.
I am Dasha, I want to get back to Russia and I'm an assassin and gymnast, you know. She couldn't have been a gas station attendant.
Sure.
But yeah, that character was just kind of one note for me.
Yeah, it was just a little cartoonish, a little outlandish for me.
Yeah.
I thought it was interesting that episode where Villanelle goes to visit her family. I thought we'd get...
That was a great episode.
Yeah, I thought you got some insight on her background, you know? Because before that, you were always kind of wondering, like, what makes a person be this much of a psychopath and... You know, how does somebody get into the business of killing people, you know? And
yeah.
So I thought that was a really great episode and it was very interesting. You almost felt like her family was normal. You were kind of led to believe like,
yeah, initially,
they're so normal and maybe she and was just born
around the
bad.
Table.
Yeah. But then you see the ugly side of her mom and you learn that growing up in that house is not what it seems to be.
No. I was fooled initially when she was in the house and her mom showed up.
Yeah.
Saw her and dropped the grocery bags and immediately ran to her and embraced her.
Yeah.
Initially, you know, they're telling you like, this is a mother who cares about her child and missed her.
Yeah.
So there's no way she could be horrible.
Right.
But then in the final moments when she's actually alone with her at night, it all kind of comes out.
Yeah.
But it came out kind of subtly. Like I was still thinking they kept it kind of vague.
They did, but you got to pick up on the subtleties again. It's a covert mother. Okay, one example is when she was winning all the prizes at the carnival games, like her mom almost like was reluctant to clap and kind of smile for her. Mm-hmm. It was like that. It's just subtle. It's very very subtle. And then the youngest brother, and I'm terrible with names again, but the youngest brother got second in the baking competition, and you see her whispering to him, and then he's hitting himself, and she, Villanelle's like, stop doing that. Why are you doing that? You know, and, you know, she had told him that he was stupid and it was an embarrassment to the family and just all this awful stuff. And well, so that's you what kind somebody, of learn.
That's what somebody said she had said about him, right?
That's what the mother whispered to the smallest brother.
Oh, how do you know that? I didn't think we were privy to that. Yeah. I just saw her lean in and whisper and that was it.
No, because later she finds the boy hitting himself.
And that's what...
And she's like, stop it. Why are you doing that? And he tells her.
Okay. I missed that.
Yeah. And then the exchange at the end where, you know, Villanelle does the trick with the blood under her eyes and she thinks she's joking. And then they kind of have that exchange, like, mm-hmm. where the mother is saying, like, you're always in the wrong. And she's like, but how can that be, you know?
Yeah.
And you're always in the wrong, you know, they just kind of come to blows. And, you know, she realizes kind of the ugly person that her mother is and then kills her. And then you see kind of conflicted emotions with Villanelle afterwards on the train a little bit. It's like,
yeah. No, it was, if anything, that episode where she goes back to her home,
mm-hmm.
It gave us a very good reason to believe that Villanelle might be human and not a sociopath. Because she seemed to change after that. Like, she seemed more sympathetic to people, more...
less cold and ruthless.
Yeah, not like masking herself in this kind of snarky, kind of effervescent, kind of goofing around. It's like she had two settings on her personality, being kind of flippant and silly or, you know, cold, calculating, and killing.
I don't know. I kind of see some of the flippant and silly. Like, I thought it was hilarious when she went to Irina's hockey and was like blowing the air horn.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Trying to get Constantine's attention. Just like,
yeah,
but, you know, like, that's silly. That's funny.
No, that's what I mean. It's she's either doing that stuff or she's kind of like, you know, working.
Yeah.
You know, she's in character to get close to somebody so she can wipe them out.
Sure.
But I think after the episode where she goes back home, she seems to kind of show more like she almost like there's moments where she cared. She actually expressed care towards Eve and not like, I'm your silly little plaything and we're going to have fun or something.
Right. And not just Eve, like she got that little brother out of the house.
Yeah. Yeah.
Before it exploded, right, gave him money to go see Elton John, you know, like she actually cared about him.
Him and the other boy, the other brother there.
Yep.
Yeah. And just took out the douchebags.
Yeah.
Mom's husband and the millennial Jack Nutt and his stupid girlfriend.
Yeah.
By the way, she was weird looking, right?
Yes, totally. Yeah.
She looked like a hairless emu.
Yep.
But with blonde hair.
Oh, nope, sorry.
That's it.
Okay. So Eve's attention turns towards chasing down Kenny's killer and Villanelle, kind of. They're kind of chasing them both down. And Carolyn is still in that mix, too. I thought it was very interesting, you know, her questioning Constantine about the phone records, and he asked him if he was his father.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that he didn't know. And
right.
So it leaves us like, well, is he his father? You know, like, okay, that's a plot twist.
I don't know if I really care that much about that.
Yeah.
Like if Constantine is Kenny's dad or not. I'm more concerned about what happened on the roof.
Yeah.
Like Constantine said, A, why did they go on the roof? What's the point of that?
Yeah, I don't know.
And B, you know, there was no like He just said he kept backing up and he fell.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Do I remember that right?
Yep.
And it just never kind of, there's never any kind of confirmation of any of that.
Yeah.
You know, it's borderline kind of like, what did happen up there? I mean, Constantine said this, you know, we saw the shot of Kenny falling behind Eve in the window,
mm-hmm.
but we never got confirmation of anything.
Well, and we don't know the dynamic between Carolyn and Constantine. Can she trust him? Can she not? You know, they are from two different worlds there, you know, and I don't know. I don't. It'd be interesting if that's her baby's daddy.
You know,
I don't know.
You know, what's interesting, I just thought of this, is maybe Constantine and Carolyn are the proxy alternate universe version of Eve and Villanelle.
Mm.
Like, they're kind of adversaries, but they kind of love each other.
Mm-hmm.
And they're intertwined,
mm-hmm.
good and bad.
Mm-hmm. Maybe.
Mm.
That's interesting. We saw this Helene character for the first time.
Helene. Oh, the skinny broad,
yeah.
who was kind of bossing Villanelle
yep.
around.
Yep, yep. She gets her promotion to be management, a handler. And Helene kind of wields her power. You know, is kind of on a power trip there.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if she will come into play more in the next season or not.
I would think so.
Yeah, I would think so as well.
I like how Villanelle killed her little henchman.
Yes.
Her little Villanelle in training.
Yes.
She was all talk until Villanelle whooped her ass and threw her on the train tracks.
Well, I think Villanelle's going through something. Like, after she went home to her family, she kind of wants out. She's trying to find a way out. Is she done killing? Is she not? You know, she's kind of questioning her worth, because then, like, she went to Carolyn saying, like, I'm ready to take that job that you offered me. And Carolyn's like, if you're done killing, what good are you to
yeah,
me? Can, you know,
do you know how to lead a meeting?
Right.
Or?
And so I think she's kind of like questioning her own worth. Like, really, that's all I'm good at is killing people. You know, that's
yeah, maybe,
all people want me for.
Maybe next season we'll see Villanelle going to college or working somewhere to learn something, you know, learn a trade or something.
Yeah.
As she's trying to maybe get out of the killing business. It's almost like she's graduated from something, you know, this season.
There's some growth there.
Yeah. Like
personal
she's
growth.
It's almost like she's been stuck in a perma 12-year-old
yes.
mode.
Yes. Childlike.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And since she blew up her family house, killed
yeah.
her mom. She's just kind of turned a page and has
definitely
jumped ahead about 10, 15 years in maturity.
You know what? I kind of noticed that in the fashion too. Isn't that weird? Like, I know you don't get into fashion probably, and some of it you don't like on the show, but some of it I think is really awesome and a very good part of the character. But if you remember, like, earlier seasons, she's wearing like bubblegum pink ball gowns and just really kind of almost childlike stuff. And now it's more sophisticated. Like, you know, they end with her in the pantsuit, you
yeah,
know.
But wasn't that pantsuit kind of ostentatious?
I liked it. It was like this bright red and turquoise pattern thing. And I don't know. It was kind of like she is trying to come into her own power. She wants to be a handler. She doesn't want to do the dirty work anymore. She is kind of growing up and transforming as a person. She wants to know her value and her worth besides killing people.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So
I was trying to find a picture of her dancing with Eve where she had that weird pantsuit.
Yes, I love it.
And I found the
I
one
don't
of
think
her,
it's weird. I love it.
I found her with that weird when she's playing golf, the
yes.
fuzzy green.
Okay, that was a little off.
That was a little, that was like a weird Pennywise type of outfit.
Yeah. But
so
I don't know. I think the fashion is kind of growing up a little bit too there,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah, no, that I doubt that's by accident.
Yeah.
So
the Eve on the bridge scene is kind of where they left it. Like,
Yeah,
she
knew
told her. She told her to go. Like, I, you know, pretty much like, we shouldn't do this. Don't look back. Just
this is
walk.
Not going to end well.
Yeah, just walk and don't look back. And they neither one of back. Them couldn't do it. Yeah, they can't leave each other. So,
I just hope this show doesn't end up with them like having an apartment together and living a life. You know, I think there's a way they can kind of be together without it being kind of like, well, now they're living together. Let's see how this works out.
I think that's too neat. I think you have to have kind of what you started with, which is the, should I touch the hot stove or not? I know it burns me, but I just can't help myself, you know?
Yeah.
There's like a really good chocolate cake sitting on that hot stove, you know? Like,
right.
I don't know. I think you got to kind of keep that going because that's kind of the whole thing is that dance and that cat and mouse game where they kind of.
Yeah, but they have to evolve in the relationship, and it seems like they have. You know, I don't think they can do next season where they're kind of, you know, sending messages ships passing in the night once in a while. I think there's going to have to be more of a quote relationship.
Sure.
There.
Well, I thought it was very interesting, and I don't know if I'm the only one that picked up on this, but when Carolyn shot the suspected member of the 12, the accountant for the 12, right? He was an accountant.
When Villanelle shot him in the car with Carolyn?
No.
She shot Paul. Is that who you're talking about?
Yeah, sorry, not the accountant.
Okay.
Just Paul. Yeah, sorry, in the house.
Right.
And Constantine's there, and it's the Eve and Villanelle sitting on the couch were almost like children caught in the middle of their parents fighting. It was so kind of almost comical. And to see her face like almost with delight and suspense, like, ooh, is she going to do it? You know, it's she's watching this exciting movie, you know, and it almost delights her like to see that someone else is going to get pushed to that point, you know?
Yeah. No, it's another good example of Jodie Comer.
Oh, yeah.
And we've said this before, like, she's just so great.
Yeah.
I saw an article about, like, it's time for her to be a movie star or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, she's just such a good actress.
Yeah.
She does so much with that character. It just makes her so multidimensional.
Yes.
And that's not easy to pull off. Plus, throw on top of that, she's, you know, doing anywhere from 4 to 5 accents per season.
Right. No easy task either.
But you got anything else on Killing Eve?
No, that was it. I just, it'll be interesting to see where it goes. Don't fail me now, writers.
No, like I said, season 2 was kind of a, 3 was really good. I like this season. I like season 3 of Killing Eve, I think, more than season 2 of Dead to Me.
Oh. Yeah, I think I would go that route as well. I agree with that.
No, it was good. And like you see character growth.
Yeah.
You see changes, new characters, or some characters going away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting. Also now, speaking of new characters, you just jogged my memory about the colleagues of Kenny's at the Bitter Pill, which love that name, by the way, the Bitter Pill. They've all seen Villanelle. They are all kind of investigating the 12 now as well. So, you know, will their lives get complicated by this? Will they become more characters, you know, more major players, or will they just kind of...
Yeah, and also... dovetailing off of that, will those characters be back? Will Eve be working there officially or whatever it is? Maybe it's a different, you know, website or something, but they're all there, you know?
What was she doing before this? Was she still working for MI6 and Carolyn?
No, she was working at the Chinese kitchen.
Oh, that's right. Just doing some mundane.
Yeah. She just
hiding out in life.
Went to go simplify things, looks like.
Okay, I forgot about that.
Yeah, I did too, and I want to mention, I like that they kind of started her in that area.
Yeah.
Just to make things kind of, that makes sense.
I love it how they were talking and didn't think that she could understand them.
Yeah, yeah.
And then she just lays it all out for them. Like, I've heard every word you guys have said. Here's my thoughts and opinions on that.
She's cheating on you.
It was great.
All right. All done?
Yeah, I think so. I don't have anything left. So.
Dead to Me season 2, Killing Eve season 3.
And let's do this more often.
Yeah. No, we should.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll finally finish Ozark season 2.
Yeah, we're a little behind.
Yeah, you think? That's the Married with Channels podcast for the first time since, October, I think, is last time, right?
Yeah, yes.
Woof. Hopefully we'll be back sooner than later. I am Moose.
And I'm Jody.
And we're married.
With Channels.
And we talk TV stuff.
That's right.
Until next time.
Bye.
Bye.